Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. I have another great program for you today. So many of us go through our lives hampered by very painful memories. Aware of them or not, they can trigger tremendous pain and prevent us from thriving in our lives. So how do we face those fearful memories, learn from them, and successfully break free? My guest today is Dr. Carla Marie Manley. She is a practicing clinical psychologist based in Sonoma County, California, and a recognized authority on fear and fear-based disorders such as trauma, anxiety, and depression. With a holistic mind-body-spirit approach, she works with individuals and groups to improve personal growth, relationship connection, and increased life fulfillment. Her new book is called Joy from Fear: Create the Life of Your Dreams by Making Fear Your Friend. To learn more about Dr. Manley and her book, please go to drcarlamanley.com. So welcome to the program, Dr. Carla. So nice to have you with us today.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Terry. I so appreciate it.
Oh, wonderful. And you live in one of my favorite places, Sonoma County, California. What a great area.
It's gorgeous. We are so blessed.
Yes, yeah, so blessed and so beautiful, gorgeous mountains. Now tell us, what kinds of clients do you work with in general as a clinical psychologist?
As a clinical psychologist, I specialize in anxiety, depression, PTSD. I also have a really strong background in working with sexual issues. So that comes from my my work with juvenile probation and working with sexual offenders. So I really am an advocate of working with sexuality in healthy ways. And another area that I love working with is couples, because relationship issues, because when we work with relationship issues, we find that so many relationship problems come from a lack of communication skills. And right. So I love doing powerful work in that area.
Oh, isn't that great when you can actually see change between two partners and the couple changes? I love that too, Carla.
It is amazing to me that just simple techniques that we might not learn as children, right? You know, our parents right. don't sit us down often. They don't know how to do healthy communication. So actually watching clients transform in the office just by learning to talk to each other
exactly.
in clearer, kinder ways.
Right. And sometimes, and even if we do learn it as children, sometimes we need that refresher. Sometimes we need someone else to show us or tell us what they're seeing between us and a partner. And so that we can change it or rework it or work on the miscommunication that's occurring.
Absolutely true, because I believe, you know, in my own life, and that we get we have a lack of objectivity when it's our own stuff.
Yes. And isn't so that true as a clinical psychologist,
oh
right?
Oh my goodness. Absolutely.
So
that we can
you,
all
Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
We can all use a refresher and an outside point of view. Absolutely.
And do people ask you, Carla, don't you have a perfect relationship or relationships in your life? And that's your answer, right? That sometimes we also need objectivity and someone else to show us what's happening in our own relationships, even though we know it ourselves.
Absolutely. And that's one of the really interesting things that I hear from my clients, you know, now and again. Somebody will make a quip about, oh, well, your perfect life, right? And I say, wait a second, right? And even with friends, not necessarily just clients, but the idea that just because you're a psychologist or, you know, a medical doctor doesn't mean that your life is perfect. It simply means you might have some skills and some really great tools. But in our own lives, it takes constant awareness and constant work to keep evolving. And sometimes having an outside person guide us is absolutely essential, and there is no shame in that at all. It takes great courage.
Great courage, absolutely. Now, what motivated you, Carla, to write the book Joy from Fear?
So it's such a great question, Dr. Terry. What I did with my life growing up, I knew I wanted to be a psychotherapist. I had as my role model the idea in my mind of Lucy from Charlie Brown setting up shop and dispensing advice for 5 cents. Mm. And I'm not quite certain where that came from, except that I was the 9th child in a family of 10, very wow. chaotic, very dysfunctional, and something in me knew that there was healing to be done. But I grew up and followed a different path because even after college, because my family thought that it would be wise for me to be an attorney, and being the good Catholic girl that I was, I wanted to please everybody. And so I tried to go that route and then went into a master's program after I left law school to become a therapist. And then that was displeasing. So long story short, went into the business world, which was very much pleasing to my family, but displeasing to me. Hmm. By then I'm married and have 2 children and start really suffering as every year went by. One day woke up and said, this is ridiculous. Here I'm telling my young children, follow your passions, follow your dreams. You know, mama's here to support you. And I wasn't being the role model I wanted right. to be. I was living a life that was really pretty on the outside, but very difficult on the inside. And I wanted those two to match. I wanted to be same, same for my internal world to be even more luscious or pretty than the outside world. So I went back to school knowing that it would be very difficult for people who weren't supportive of me, and it resulted in the loss of my marriage and other things, but it resulted ultimately in the gain of me finding me and me being able to live a passionate, enlivened life. So in the course of my doctoral program, I became very interested in working with fear, because I realized, even though I thought I was such a strong and powerful woman, I realized I really wasn't. That a strong and powerful woman or human being, in my book, learns to follow his or her passion in life mm-hmm. and stand in his or her truth. And so I started investigating fear from the inside out, wondering, now, if I learn more about this, can I help other people? I want to help. Can I help people get unstuck more quickly and less painfully than I got unstuck? Right. And so that is the background of Joy from Fear. I wove into Joy from Fear my life lessons, client lessons, case studies, exercises, so that people who can't afford therapy or want a companion for therapy or want to work with a woman's group or men's group or book club, I wanted people to have more than I had at my disposal and wow. sooner than I had.
Right.
So that's Joy from Fear.
Oh, that is wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that story. And, you know, I can really hear, Carla, in your voice now, at least, because I didn't know you before, the joy and the passion in your voice as you describe why you wrote the book and what's in the book. So your journey, it sounds like, was very difficult, but I can see the outcome. So share with us then, what are some common fears that people might experience so listeners know? And do we all have fears then that are sort of hidden or stuck inside of us? Or are some of us not? Some of us don't have fears at all.
Such beautiful questions. And my response is that we all have fear because fear is a part of who we are as human beings. It serves a purpose. Unfortunately, our realistic fear brain, right, the fear that tells us, hey, don't run a red light, you might get hit by a car. Don't stick your hand in the bonfire, right? Realistic fear. But as we grow up, even if we grow up in really healthy environments, we are socialized in certain ways that might dim our passion, that might tell us that we should do this or should do that or shouldn't do this. And so often, without even realizing it, we become afraid and afraid to communicate, afraid to say no to somebody, afraid to not be perfect, right? And so all of these fears scamper around in the psyche. And yes, I think we all have them. I think the more self-aware we are, the more that we become aware that they're there and try not to self-soothe or self-medicate with products or buying habits or addictions, but instead we say, For example, let's say I'm about to speak before a group. So it's natural to have a little bit of fear, but instead of going and having a drink or an anxiety med, right, I would simply go, okay, I acknowledge that I'm fearful right now. I don't need to be afraid. These people came to hear me speak. Sure, I might make a mistake, but that's okay. And I take a deep breath in and a deep breath out. I acknowledge the fear. I let the anxiety pass through me, and I go out and do my best. And that, to me, is the gift that we can all share, knowing we all get anxious around certain things.
Mm-hmm. So we all have fear. It's just how we handle the fear, then? Is that what you're saying, Carla?
Yes. The way I look at it, Terry, is that it's important to differentiate. Once we get away from the realistic fear, then it's important to realize that three faces of fear. We have the destructive fear, the fear that says, don't go and speak before that audience. Don't go and tell your boss that, you're upset about something or you're concerned about something. Quiet down, go and hide in a corner, right? Then we have the face of constructive fear. Constructive fear says, but wait a minute. You are a good and true and wonderful person. You deserve to speak your truth with dignity, courage, and respect, right? That's constructive fear, that beautiful voice that wants us to be our best. But sometimes we get stuck there. Sometimes we get stuck in destructive fear and don't want to hear the positive voice. Here's the key. This is the face of fear that I've come to love and embrace and really try to live, the transformational fear. And that's the transformational fear that says, even though you hear destructive fear, and even though you've moved to listen to the positive side, now we have to go out and do it. Now we have to go fly. And yes, that's scary. Sometimes we don't know what's on the other side, but I can do it, and you can do it. And I'm here with you to support you on your journey. Let's transform.
I like that.
Isn't that lovely?
That is lovely, and it's so positive at the end, right? That transformational fear. And before we get to how to do that, Carla, I can hear listeners, or I can see listeners in their mind saying, well, how do I know if I have the destructive fear? How can I tell or be aware of my fears? And what do you tell them, or what can you tell us?
When I'm working with someone, I listen to their speech patterns. I really try to focus in on body posture, on how they're talking. So if somebody is telling me, so this is for listeners, if you're telling yourself, I should, I should not, I can't, I better not, I'm not good enough, uh-oh, I shouldn't. If you're, I'm overwhelmed, that's too scary for me. I'll never be able to do that. If any of that resonates with you, I know someone, or several people who talk to themselves openly out loud and say, I'm a piece of crap. Everything I do touches. If I had, no luck, or I have no luck in my life, everything I do is just, terrible. Those voices are all destructive fear. Every single one of those. If you're looking at your neighbor and saying, he's better than me. Or you're looking at a post on Facebook and saying, oh, she's prettier than me. She's more joyful than me. If there's any comparison going on, remember, we compare ourselves naturally. It's a primitive instinct. But the idea is to work to get away from that. So I would tell listeners, if any of those voices are going on in your head, that's destructive fear.
That's destructive fear.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes, because we can all hear it, you know, people saying that out loud, whether it be us, whether it be a parent or a child of ours or a friend, another family member, those words, those shouldn'ts, those can'ts, those not good enough come out in how people talk.
Absolutely. And sometimes sometimes it's the voice in your head that's being critical and judgmental and harmful to your very soul. And so the idea is to start noticing the patterns. Now, be really careful as you notice the patterns, because destructive fear is pretty sneaky. If you're noticing the pattern, then sometimes you say, oh, stupid me, I find myself criticizing myself again. So you shame yourself right there. That's how destructive fear works. Instead, just notice the voice and go, oh, I'm doing that, and let it go. Not judging yourself, but that as you're letting it go, if you're able to, just put in a positive message, something as simple as, I'm a wonderful person, or it's a beautiful day, or I love myself, or I love my children. Just something positive to replace, to reset your brain into a positive pattern.
So to replace the negative with a positive statement is obviously one strategy to help people let go of those fears, let go of those can'ts, those shouldn'ts. What are some other strategies that listeners can use to let go of our fears or their fears?
One of the most effective and cost-free portable techniques is breathing. And the reason breathing is so important is for anyone who's listening who suffers from anxiety, we know that our breath starts in, you know, we start breathing more and more shallow breaths, right? And the body starts preparing for this very unconscious fight or flight response, right? So when we start breathing, just slow, deep breaths, opening the chest with a deep breath in and exhaling, drawing the belly to the spine, letting go, just counting as we breathe and being mindful of those breaths brings the body's parasympathetic nervous system on board, and it quiets the mind, it quiets the body, it reduces adrenaline and cortisol in the system. And one of the breathing techniques I love, I call it pin dot breathing. You imagine a little dot, just the size of a pin between your brow. And as you breathe in, imagine that dot getting bigger. And as you breathe out, imagine it getting small again. And the magic to these techniques, again, there's no medication, no cost. You can do it anywhere, the office, the airport, anywhere, is that the mind then cannot focus on two things at once. Mm-hmm. It can't be anxious about whatever you're thinking about in the future and also count and breathe and imagine a pin dot. And then the mind... Yes, go.
Oh, no, that's so great, because you're right. The mind cannot focus on two things, let alone three things at once. So how long should listeners do this technique? I mean, does it matter? Do I wait until I feel better or less anxious in my body? Or how long, how often?
The beautiful part about breathing is it's something that is excellent for our bodies, getting more oxygen into the system. We often do not on a daily basis use our full lung capacity. So I tell people, do it anytime you begin to feel anxiety rising. Do it anytime you begin to torture yourself with negative thoughts. Anytime, no matter where you are. And the beauty of it, sometimes if I wake up in the middle of the night, doesn't happen much, but if I do, I start my breathing, and before I know it, I'm back asleep. Mm-hmm. Whatever that ridiculous thought that wanted to pester me, it just evaporates because I'm telling my body and my mind, we're okay. You can breathe, you can relax. So I tell listeners, do it as frequently, at least do four of them, and then check in with yourself to notice, am I feeling better? And if you're feeling calmer, do either just continue or do two more, just as a dose of love for yourself.
Right.
And that's what I see. And Joy from Fear has an entire section on different breathing strategies, because what works for one person may not work for another. And another image that I love telling people about is, as you breathe, if you're feeling like there's toxic energy lingering in pockets in your body, imagine that your breath is a feather duster. And as you breathe in, imagine that feather duster finding places that things are stuck, toxicity is stuck. And then on the exhalation, imagine that feather duster moving through you, just getting rid of all of the wispy little remnants and cobwebs. And it's such a beautiful image. I love working with positive imagery, because
right.
the more we focus on the positive in life, the more it becomes a part of who we are.
Right. I love your images. You know, it's interesting because one of the things I do and I share with my clients as well, Carla, is to think of an image in your mind as you're doing that technique that calms you. And for me, I always share this with clients, it's the ocean. And so I breathe when the waves come in and the waves go out, and seeing and hearing and feeling that ocean allows me to then focus on my breathing and be aware of how it's calming me as well. So those images are so very important. I love that. Now, share also, we only have a few minutes left, when clients do, and you gave us two great techniques, and I know there's so many wonderful strategies in your book. You talked about the breathing techniques, you talked about replacing the negative with the positive, but what are the benefits? What are the outcomes if we let go of our fear? What do we find?
I believe that when we let go of fear, that's where our joy is. I believe that joy, I love this image, we're talking images, right? That we all have this candle, this light inside of us. I look at it as a beautiful, pure white votive candle, this shimmering light. And that as we move through life, we get the glass votive, there's the votive around the candle, becomes clouded, becomes darkened, it becomes sooty with various fears and negative life experiences. And so we lose touch with our joy. We lose touch with it, and we think, I'm living a joyless life. But that little light is still there burning. And as we use techniques to wipe away the soot, to wipe away the fear, to work with it and acknowledge it, that we are cleaning the glass of our votive candle. And our breath can clean that. Positive self-messages can clean that. Meditation, yoga, contact with nature, being kind, volunteering, all of those things. Anything that feels positive and giving to yourself and giving to others in a very pure, natural way. I'm not talking about giving through buying, expensive shoes. That's fleeting, right? But if we really give to the self and others in pure, soulful ways, we find that our light starts shining more and more. And that is the natural, inherent light of joy that is yours, that is mine, and that it belongs to every listener. It's just using the practices that helps you get in contact. Thus, that is where we get the joy from fear.
So from fear to joy. And as we clean out the soot and we get that joy, we also help our relationships as well and the connections we make with other people.
Absolutely, because we gravitate toward like-minded souls, and people are gravitating toward us, because who can resist in the dark and kind of scary world? Who can resist the light of joy? It's irresistible.
Right.
And it belongs to everyone.
And I know listeners can think, who are they attracted to the most? And it is people with joy, positivity, optimism, and that light. Well, thank you so much, Carla, for joining us today. I loved talking to you, and you've given listeners several wonderful practical strategies to use to face their fears and let go of them. So thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much, Dr. Terry, for having me. It's just a true pleasure. Thank you.
Oh, you are so welcome. A true pleasure, and your voice is so calming as well. And listeners, if you want more information about Dr. Carla Marie Manley and her new book, Joy from Fear, Create the Life of Your Dreams by Making Fear Your Friend, go to her website at drcarlamanley.com. And as always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. And I'm here to help your relationships, including the one with yourself, be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry. TheLoveDoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based relationship advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. So listeners, until next time, here's to your healthy, happy relationships.